I feel like today is a day of victory for somebody. I feel like it awaits. I think every day can be a day of victory, but I just feel that in particular this morning that today is a day of victory for someone. And in this room, perhaps they're watching by live stream. John, can you push me up just a little bit here, please, sir? John is upstairs all by his lonesome self today. We've got all of our upstairs staff. Thank you, sir. That's good. That's real good right there. All of our upstairs staff and volunteers are all vacating this week, as many are, and we appreciate John being. He's got 411 things to do up there today, and he's doing a good job trying to keep up with all of it. Welcome home to Voice of Praise. If you haven't been here in a while, or if this is your first time ever being here, we want to welcome you home. And make sure you fill out a Connect card. You should have been given one. We have a special gift for you upon filling out that Connect card, and we just want to get to know you just a little bit better. See, there's a wonderful atmosphere in the room this morning. I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning as a pastor. I dread Sundays like Labor Day Sunday, Memorial Day Sunday, Labor Day Sunday, 4th of July Sunday. Usually those are the Sundays that everybody are really busy and they've got things to do, and a lot of people are going here and there. And you know, we can look around and we know we have several that are out vacationing, and God bless them. I hope they have a wonderful time, and I don't say that sarcastically at all. But you know, sometimes sometimes as a pastor, I dread these holiday Sundays, holiday weekends, because sometimes it's like our minds are drifting. But let me say this. There is a wonderful presence of the Lord in this room this morning. And some of you may follow my social media posts. Others may have me blocked. I don't know. It's okay, too. But a few days ago, I put up a little post. Actually, it was a pretty big post about how that, you know, we oftentimes come to church and we talk about, Lord, we invite you into our presence. Lord, we want you to come be among us. But in reality, if we are in the Lord, He is with us all the time. I don't have to invite Him to show up because He came with me. And I believe He came with some people in this room this morning. So I'm not inviting Him to show up. I'm just saying, Jesus, we're glad You're here because we're here. And Your Holy Spirit is here working among us. So welcome to Voice of Praise. We're here, we're doing life together. That's our motto, our slogan, if you want to call it that. It's not exactly a vision statement. But our statement says that we're a family of believers that come together doing life together. And that's what we are. So I'm thankful that you're here this morning. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn them to John chapter 19. In John, as you turn to John chapter 19, I'm going to go back here and turn this fan off because it's aggravating me. I get distracted real easy, okay? My wife, now you'll notice that she's not here this morning. She's recuperating from carotid artery surgery from earlier in the week, and I thank you so much for those of you all that have been praying for her. It was a little bit more intense than we anticipated it to be, but she's doing well, and the Lord's blessing her, and Lord willing, she's probably watching right now. Today's our anniversary, by the way, mine and Sarah's. It's our wedding anniversary. So she doesn't get to go out to a fancy restaurant tonight, but guess what? I'm going to cook for her, and that's even better, you know. But I do miss her being here this morning, and, you know, she can, I had to turn this fan off because it was getting on my nerves. She can have a TV on, be reading, listening to her iPad, reading on her iPad, listening on her iPad, and watching TV and talking to me all at the same time and know everything has been said. I can't do that. I'm single track. I run on one track and that's it. But bless her heart. I love her to death. And happy anniversary, baby, if you're watching. John chapter 19, verses 6 through 11. As soon as the chief priest and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! crucified. But Pilate answered, you take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus, but Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said. Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you? But Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. I want to focus on that answer that Jesus gave Pilate. He said, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. In other words, Pilate, all the authority Pilate had to be given to him from God. Okay? I want to preach to you this morning a message on limited authority. Limited authority. Now, you notice we didn't release Children's Church, and that's because it's Family Sunday. It's also Mission Sunday, and thank you, Latricia. We'll work on that picture. But as you think about the thought of limited authority, the world, especially our United States of American world, seemingly is experiencing deterioration at a very rapid pace. I still think we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. But we have a lot of challenge facing us. And in those challenges, sometimes we get, if you would, discouraged. And sometimes we get, if you would, very low. Certainly generations before us have witnessed difficult shifts in culture. I was watching some young people, and young people, let me say this. I love you, but I also realize that I am old enough to be your grandparent, okay? So I need not expect to understand everything that you do. But I was thinking back, I was looking through some photos online the other day of the generation that was, that I came in on the very, very end of, and we knew it as the hippie movement. For those older ones in the room. Let me tell you something. For those of us that had long hair at one time, we were just as weird as the young people are now, okay? Just in our own way. But so, down through the years, we have seen these things unfold. The world seemingly now, though, is in a fast pace of deterioration. Generations before us have witnessed shifts in culture. We've seen shifts in the economy. We shifts in lifestyle. But probably, I think I'm safe to say that no generation that we're aware of has ever seen the vastness of decay at the accelerated pace that we are seeing in America right now. To look at the world condition, you just, like me, we're likely to say, and I've been saying this for 10 years, I've been telling Sarah, the whole world has gone crazy. Can anybody give me an amen? Amen. The whole world has gone crazy. Sometimes when we look at the condition of the world, beginning right here in our own community, it seems like that the devil is getting the upper hand. We read stories, there was a tragic murder-suicide just in this surrounding community here this past week. Some of you are probably aware of that. We pray for all of those that were connected and involved, and there's been many other tragic things that have happened. And, you know, my son is an investigator. He's a police investigator, and it seems like in talking to him, it seems like there's more, he's working more suicides and more, mental health issues than ever before. And we can look around and it seems like the devil sometimes is getting the upper hand. As bad as things are today, and as bad as they're probably going to get in our future, I can't imagine, though, that times are any more hopeless than they were when Jesus was standing before Pilate. And that's where we read from in the scripture. You talk about discouragement, man, these people are on the verge of the crucifixion. They did not know exactly what was unfolding. We read about it now and we have a greater understanding than they did. But what a discouragement. These disciples, these followers of Jesus, their hope was quickly fading. Their hope was deteriorating before their eyes. We think ours is. Theirs was probably worse. Jesus, we all know the story now. We know the story that Jesus would restore hope as he would appear to his disciples post-resurrection, and he would share with them, and they even would think that, well, he's just the gardener, and he would reveal his scars in his hands and in his side to Thomas. And but in the same manner, you and I must realize that there is a revealing that's going to take place on down the road. It's not going to be exactly like the disciples' experience. It's not going to be Jesus is going to appear before us and necessarily show his scars in his hands and in his side. But you and I are going to see God reveal himself in the future. I want you to remember this. And I hardly ever ask Pam to sing a certain song. Every once in a while we do, but I didn't tell her to sing it as well. But I want you to know this, that song was so relevant this morning, because I want you to know, if you don't catch anything else this day, God is and always will be in control. When you look, whether it's the situation of the world or whether it's the situation of your life, rest assured that God always is and always will be in control. The earth, as we call it, the world, as you may want to refer to it, the world's going to be okay. We got this big election coming up, and many people are wringing their hands. People are on both sides of the aisle are panicky over it and wondering what's going to happen. And I can rest assured I have my preferences, okay? I know that very well. I have my preferences. But let me tell you this, whatever happens in November, God is still in control. Okay? No matter what happens in Israel with all the happenings over there, God is still in control. If you would, I want you to understand with me this morning. The devil is on a short leash. He's on a short leash. He can only do so much as God allows him to do. God never has, and he never will relinquish all of his authority over to the earth, humanity, or the devil. God is still in control. In fact, we find that Paul wrote in one of his letters, he speaks of, and I'm paraphrasing this if you would, he will only be able to do what he can do. Speaking of the devil, he can only do what he is doing, and he is restrained until the Holy Spirit be taken out of the way. Then God will release, or he will lengthen the cord, if you would, in that end time, for the enemy to do what he chooses to do. But even in that day, God is still in control. Revelation chapter 20 gives us a snapshot. Because in Revelation chapter 20, we can study there and we can find that Satan is bound and put in a pit for 1,000 years. But then we find that he is loosed for a season. But even in that season that the devil is loose, following the rapture of the church, because whether you, I'm not asking you to agree with me, but whether you do agree with me or not, I still believe in a pre-trib rapture. I believe the bride is going to be gone. She's not going to be here to be beat to death, okay? But in that time of tribulation, in that time of turmoil in the earth, listen, Satan will be put in the pit for 1,000 years. But then the Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 20 that Satan is going to be loosed for a season. He's going to be loosed for a season to torment the earth. But understand this, even in that season that he is loosed, God is never out of control. So no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what happens in the world, whether it's this November or if it's tomorrow or if it's next year, understand with me, the devil only has limited authority. He only can do so much because God is never losing control. In fact, God's authority is what Satan despises the most. God's authority was the enemy's tactic. That was what Satan's desire was. It was to deceive Adam and Eve, and eliminate, if you would, or interrupt the authority that God has. Because God had put them in charge of dressing the garden. Adam even had the authority to name all of the animals. You want to know why elephant's called an elephant? Well, you got to ask Adam. He decided that name. He decided alligator's called an alligator. Yeah, he decided all of those things. God gave Adam authority over the earth, and Satan was out to destroy that authority. When we read in chapter 2 of Daniel, we find there that Daniel served a notice on King Nebuchadnezzar that it was God who raises up kings and it's God who brings kings down. Understand it. Even Nebuchadnezzar in all of his evil reign, Nebuchadnezzar in another place in Scripture is found to be named the servant of the Lord. Even in his evil ways, he was still used by God to accomplish God's will. I want you to know that the elements of this world, the kingdoms of this world, the kings, the rulers of this world, and even Satan himself has limited authority. Nobody has exerted, no coup has ever been formed that will overthrow the power and the authority of the Almighty God and His kingdom. He rules and He reigns forevermore. And having said all of that, I want to remind you that the devil's on a short leash. Some people say, I've heard it said even by Christians that, well, the devil's power is the only power equal to God. No. No, don't ever entertain that thought in your head. There is no power, there is no authority that is equal to the power of God. Not even the devil, not even in his evilness, not even in his angelic tactics, which he does use because he is a fallen angel. And I want you secondly to remember this. In a day when I listen to blogs and I listen to podcasts and I read blogs and I read all this stuff all the time, and I read about the deterioration of the church in America. I read about how, I think it was this week, I read that 177,000 ministers leave the ministry every single year. I've read how that most churches are in decline. I've read how that since COVID, the nominal size church in America is now 60 or under. I've read all of these things and it does it alarm me? Yes, it does. Does it concern me? Yes, it does. Does it bother me that in several states here in the United States that less than 10% of the residents of that state ever darken the doors of a church? Does that concern me? Yes, it does. But I have some news for you. The Church of Jesus Christ, and that's not a denomination, the Church of the Living God, That's not a denomination. The church of God. No, I'm not speaking of a denomination. I'm speaking of the blood-bought, born-again church that is purchased by Jesus Christ. I've got news for you. It's not going down. It's not going under. It's not going to crumble. The doors of buildings may close, but the church of God is going to continue to go forward because He said that He would build His church. And because He is building His church, listen, I can build a church. I can build a congregation. John could build a congregation. Billy Graham could have built a congregation, which he did. Many pastors, many preachers, we can build congregations, but it's not important about our congregations. What is important is the congregation that is built on the foundation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the foundation that will not crumble when the winds come and the storms roll. They're not built out of sand. They're not going to wash away. But the foundations that are built on Jesus Christ, they will not crumble and they will not fall away. You know, there's preachers failing every single day. I want you to know that. There's preachers fail every single day. Some of them through time were more prominent. Back many years ago, there was one preacher that failed, and most of you knew who he was, and or realize who I'm even referring to this morning. But he was of a Pentecostal persuasion, and he fell miserably, and it was in the public eye. I happen to know people that quit church and said they lost their faith because that man failed. Let me tell you something. If your faith is in me, your faith is in the wrong person. If your faith is in somebody in Texas or Oklahoma or anywhere else in the world that you can think of, Georgia or anywhere else you can think of, let me tell you something. Your faith is in the wrong person. Our faith needs to be rooted and grounded in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, because all of the rest of us have limited authority and we have limited ability. But listen, God is not going to share His awesomeness and His power and His glory with anyone. But even those that oppose, God says He will resist, for He said He will resist the proud. So I, the second point I was getting at there, and I got off on a little bit of a rabbit trail there because I got excited about it. I want you to know that the church is doing well. Now God's blessing us here at Voice of Praise, and that's because of you all, and you all having a willingness to come, and the Holy Spirit is working among us, and He's dealing with your hearts and your lives, and we appreciate every one of you. But we as Pentecostal believers should be more aware than anybody else maybe in the world that all is well with the church. While we're wringing our hands and we're stressing out and we oftentimes forget about the measure that God is giving to the church about what He was doing. Because when Jesus said, I must go away, He said, listen, I want you to know I'm going to send you another comforter. Another word that can be used there in proper application is I'm going to give you another advocate. Another word that can be used there in proper application is I'm going to send you another helper. Another word is it can, or a phrase that could be used there is I'm going to send you my Spirit to come and dwell not just among you, but to dwell in you. And His name is the Holy Ghost. So more than anybody else as Pentecostal believers, we should not be wringing our hands, we should not be in distress, and we should not worry about what's going to happen to the church, because God has His church, He's going to keep His church, and His church is founded upon that rock that I've already spoken about, and the church of the living God is doing well today. Now there are a few products. There are a few products on the market that's out there that we're told work for us. Okay, we're told that I'm a fan of Dave Ramsey, Financial Peace University. You know, if you're struggling financially to get your footing, I recommend Financial Peace University. Check it out sometime. But we hear so much about investments and retirement. And you know, years ago, people didn't think, you know, the generation before us, they thought a little bit, but two generations before us, they didn't even think about retirement. They just worked till they died. Okay? There wasn't no retirement. A bunch of sissies retiring at 62 and 63 years old. Huh. Should at least work till we're 85. Right? But we hear so much about investments. Investments that work for us. Investments that make us money and we don't have to do anything. Our money does the work for us. We think about investments. You can think about that. Did any of y'all get this stuff in your emails or on your social media or any of these phone calls about weight loss? About this, where you buy them, you pay like $399 a month and they mail you all your meals. You know, you're investing in your health. Okay? You're taking multivitamins, divided vitamins, you're taking beet peels, you're taking coconut peels, you're taking who knows what kind of peels, you're taking fish oil peels, you're eating garlic cloves every morning. We're investing in our health because we want to live just a little bit longer and we want to be healthy while we're doing it. I saw body wraps here the other day. I saw these advertisements for body wraps. Invest in your health. You can get these body wraps. It melts fat while you rest. I thought about getting one, but I'm afraid I'd get up the next morning and wouldn't be there. And here's the good one I saw the commercial here not too long ago about this laxative that works while you sleep. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? That's what we all want to happen. These products on the market that promise us results and promise us to work for us and they boost everything up. But I want you to know what, you know, I want you to understand this with me. The Holy Ghost doesn't sleep. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. But the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whichever term you want to use for Him, because He is the person of God. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, listen, He works continually in our lives. He is working while we're asleep. He's working when we're in trouble. He's working while we're awake. He's working when everything is going good. He's working while we're driving on the interstate with all those crazy people from Ohio. He's working while we're on our jobs. He's working wherever we're at. The Holy Ghost is working. He's working while we're in church. He's working when we're not in church. He's working when you're down in the coal mines, joy. But He's working when you're on vacation to carry. You know, that's a good one for Him. But He's working all the time. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is continually at work. And there is no time that His authority is relinquished. There is no time that His authority is diminished. The Holy Spirit is working in us continually. And here's the encouraging part. Did you know that the Holy Spirit, you study the Scripture, the Holy Spirit is given exclusively for our benefit? Hello? Yeah? The Bible says it's impossible to be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that doesn't condemn us, but the Holy Spirit convicts us. I didn't grow up in church like some of y'all did. I didn't grow up in church. I mean, I told y'all, I mean, man, when I was little, I went a little bit to the Episcopal church, and I had my little black and white choir robe, and I was, you know, they put me as a baby over that marble sink, and they sprinkled water on me, and I became a wet baby. And And that's, you know, that was my experience. I was like 14 years old. I took my banjo. I went to Assemblies of God Church and they said, come up here and play your banjo, you know, play us a tune on the banjo. And I'm sure now I look back and I know what they was expecting. Sunday morning worship service, I got up and I picked the Wildwood Flower because I didn't know any better, okay? I was ignorant to church. I didn't know the rules, okay? Hey baby, how are you? She loves me so much. I didn't know all the rules. I didn't know all the regulations. I got up and I picked the Wildwood Flower. Austinsville Assembly of God. Right up front on that front choir pew row. But you know what? When the Holy Ghost is working in our lives, it's not about us keeping rules. It's not about us keeping regulations. Now, I'm not saying that we should ignore the Word of God. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that there's not disciplines that are given in the Word of God. But let me tell you something. When we are walking in the Holy Spirit, when we are living in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When the Holy Ghost is working in our lives, listen to me. Understand, He is the limiter of authority that the enemy had. The enemy may prod you. He may poke you. He may tempt you. He may try you. He may do many things to you or me in our life. But understand that the Holy Spirit is given to a gift to the church, and the gift is there for our benefit to keep us. Let me say, somebody said the other, I think I said this last week, but I'll say it again. Somebody said, do I need the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? Do I need the Holy Ghost to get saved? I said, you need the Holy Ghost to go to the Dollar General store down here, okay? You need the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. We need the Spirit of God working and moving in our life because He is the keeping power. He is the restrainer of the evil one. And He... Listen, the enemy has limited authority because of the Holy Ghost being at work. Because the Holy Ghost, He is a person of the Godhead. He is God, if you would. And He is God, the Holy Ghost. And He is the limiter that keeps the enemy, if you would, at bay. I got a lot of reading to do here. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I've already mentioned this, but I want to read it to you. And I'm going to ask y'all to just excuse me for a minute because I've already spit all over my iPad and I can't see what I'm reading here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I didn't put this on the overhead because it's so lengthy. Plus, it's nothing wrong with you opening your Bibles and reading something every once in a while. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read there the first 12 verses. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you any way, because that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. Now, right there, Paul's already wrote, and he says, don't get upset about what you see and happen in the world. And don't you believe, Paul is saying, don't you believe everything that you're hearing. Okay? Listen, church, we don't have to believe everything that CNN, I was at the doctor the other day, and Lord, I wanted to rebuke the doctor's office. They had CNN on TV. You don't have to believe everything CNN, NBC, ABC, and even Fox News or C-SPAN tells you. You don't have to believe it. Because listen, the world has limited authority. God has the authority. Don't ever forget that. Verse 4 says, He will oppose and He will exalt Himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that He sets Himself up in God's temple, proclaiming Himself to be God. Speaking of the devil there, or the Antichrist, if you would. Don't you remember, verse 5, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now, you know what is holding him back. This morning, I've told you enough in my probably very layman's terms. I have told you what is holding back the powers of Satan, okay? Don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed in the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. This was in Paul's day. This was in Paul's day, some 2,000 years ago. The one who is lawless is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. I want to stop there. I want to explain to you again in very layman's terms. I want to tell you what Paul is saying there. He's saying the devil has been at work all along. The devil is still at work. And I'm not trying to give the devil credit. But understand this with me. The devil has limited authority. He has limited authority. What Paul is saying to the church, Paul is saying to them, I've already told you this, but I want you to remember it, he says. He said that this man, the son of perdition, he's already at work, but he is limited in what he can do because the Holy Ghost is present in the world. Okay? The Holy Ghost was given by Jesus as a gift to the church. It's a gift. It's the gift that draws us unto salvation. It's the gift that keeps us in salvation. But there's a day, and I've heard preached about ever since I was a teenage boy and took my banjo to the Assemblies of God church and played the Wildwood Flower, I have been hearing that Jesus is coming again. Okay? Now that has been who said 100 years? Who said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name? That has been 48 years ago. That has been 48 years ago, okay? And if you ever, any of y'all heard my banjo playing, you'd say, he don't play no better now than he did 48 years ago. It's because I don't practice anymore. Shut up, Charlie. I was on by your breakfast in the morning, Charlie. No, I wasn't because tomorrow's Labor Day. Tuesday morning, but that's out of the question now. But I've been hearing Jesus is coming back. Probably even before that. I've been hearing Jesus is coming back. I've been hearing about this, we call it the rapture. No, and you won't find that word rapture in the Bible. It's not there. Raptori means catching away. But we find the teaching and the principle that someday the trump of God is going to sound. Now, I don't necessarily believe that that's Gabriel. There's nothing that really says that Gabriel's going to step out and blow a trumpet. It just says the trump of God will sound. I personally, and this is just what I personally think, I believe the trump of God is going to be the voice of another than Jesus Christ that's going to cry out and say, my children, come home. Okay? When my children all come home and the dead in Christ, that's the ones that are buried on these hillsides in this mountain country and in the sea and wherever else across the world, I believe that according to the scripture, I believe it that the graves are going to give up their dead first, bones are going to come together, flesh is going to come back together, and they're going to be gone, and then we're going to catch up with them in the air according to scripture. But here's the thing, when we leave, when the church leaves, when the rapture takes place, I've got some news for you. The church is not going alone because the Holy Ghost is going to go with the church. And that's what Paul's talking about. And when the Holy Ghost goes with the church, the Holy Ghost is the limiter of authority that is in this world right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I didn't think I was going to even preach 15 minutes. Thank you for putting this here. Give me something, Lena. The Holy Ghost is the limiter of authority. He limits the authority of the enemy in this world. But then that is going to be taken. That is going to be removed because the Holy Ghost is going to go when the church goes. Then, pardon my expression, but then all hell is going to break loose on earth. And it ain't nothing like you've seen. It ain't nothing like I've seen. You may have been in war. You may have been in Vietnam. You could have been in the Korean War. You could have been, you could be somebody listening, I doubt, in this room that experienced the Holocaust. But listen to me. There is no hell being on earth like the hell that is going to come when the limiter of authority is removed. Now understand this with me. God is still in control, but He is going to let His will and His purpose and His plan be accomplished. And that is the predestined plan that He has outlined in His Word. Okay. So let me go back to the reading here from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The coming of the law, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. The only reason anybody perishes, it's not because of what Satan's going to do to them necessarily. It's going to be because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved, or so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe a lie and all will be condemned and not believe the truth and you've delighted in wickedness. Man, I'm not going to get done with this today. But let me say this to you. Carrie, you want to come back? I'm going to finish up. I'm not going to finish this message. I thought it was about a 15, 20 minute message. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your support. Jason likes long messages. Don't you, my friend?
Your lungs hurt.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The decision of what happens for us in the realm of authority depends on the decision we make of what we're going to do with Jesus. God never sent anybody to hell. And He's not going to send those that are left behind. He's not going to send them to hell. He said it's because they made a choice. He said they made a choice. You know, life's all about choices, but so is eternity. But now if you go down here to Lynn's this afternoon, I don't know how many flavors of milkshakes he's got. It always distresses me to go to Lynn's because I don't know what flavor of milkshake I want. Okay? But let me tell you, when it comes down to the choices of eternity, it's a whole lot simpler because there's only two. There's only two. You accept Jesus or you don't accept Jesus. Yeah. That's good for me because, you know, that's good for me because I get indecisive with 16 flavors of milkshakes. Either I accept Jesus or I don't accept Jesus. But by failing to accept Jesus, the limited authority that Satan has over my life suddenly decreases. Because whether I go by the way of the grave, or whether the rapture of the church takes place and I'm still alive and well, the way I leave this life is the determining factor of what will happen. If I leave this life, if I die, and I die without Jesus, I'm eternally lost. But if I'm alive and the rapture of the church takes place, I'm still eternally lost. But there's going to be all hell to break loose on earth that I'm also going to have to live through. Because the limiter of authority is gone. He left with the church. So the choice is up to me, what I want to do. I want you to know that God has the devil on a short leash. He can only do what God allows him to do. But every single one of us, we have one of these. I shared a story with Vicki and Nathan, came to the house the other night and it was so good to just have the fellowship with them. And we were just talking about different things. And there used to be an old black fella that, little bitty, shorter than me, No, he wasn't a midget, but he was shorter than me, and his name was Willie Hill. And Willie Hill came to the Max Metis Pentecostal Holiness Church. And he always wore, Willie didn't have a whole lot. He didn't have a whole lot in life. Very, very little bitty cinder block house. He didn't have a whole lot in life, but he always wore a necktie and he wore a wool coat all year round. He wore that wool jacket to church. But the thing I remember most about Willie is only Bible Willie had was a big old white family Bible. Any of y'all remember them big white family Bibles? Used to put them on the coffee table. Y'all remember that? Willie would come in. I mean, this thing would be this thick. The middle section's full of good pictures. That's what I used to look at in ours, you know. And if you flip through most of them, you'll find the dried flowers from Grandma's funeral and Aunt Bertha's funeral. We put all that stuff in the Bible. You know, it's a good place for genealogy and ancestry. Willie would come in carrying that big old family Bible. But it doesn't matter to me if you have your Bible on your phone or on an iPad or if you carry around a big old white family Bible like Willie had. Let me tell you something. Everything that you and I need is found in this book. All power and all authority is found in this book. All the things that limit Satan from doing his work are found in this book. Can I get saved, Pastor, without a Bible? Sure, you can get saved without a Bible. But the way to heaven is going to be found through the pages of this book or the screens on your iPhone or the screens on your tablet, whatever you use. But understand this with me. Within this book, within its pages, you find life. Within its pages, you find constraints. Within its pages, you find success. If you look for it in any other way, to pull in another verse of Scripture, it says you're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, it's just a bunch of noise. This is where we find life. This is what constrains the devil. I'm going to finish with this. I had a whole nother segment, but I want to finish with this. Jesus had been in the wilderness. He had been fasting 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. He had been fasting. When he came out of the fast, the devil instantly began to tempt Jesus. Took him up on the temple and says, man, you can have everything. Took him up on a mountain, you can have, In the temptations of Christ, if you read about it, in the temptations after Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, I want you to know every single response that he made to Satan simply was stated like this. It is written. Limited authority, devil. Because it is written. It is written. Would you bow your heads with me for just a second? You may be in this room and you've never been saved. You may have been saved, but you may have drifted far away from the Lord, and your relationship is not anywhere as close to what it used to be with Him. You may have been bombarded. I'm not accusing you of being relaxed. You may be bombarded from every side. There may be been attacks upon your life in every way. But whether you've never been saved, or if you've grown discouraged and relaxed in your relationship with the Lord, I want you to know that the enemy does not have the upper hand. He has limited authority because it is written. If you're in this room this morning, you've never been saved. If you're in this room this morning and you've grown slack and you relaxed on the Lord, hey, I've been there, I've done that. I know what it's like. Let me take it just a bit farther. Right now in this room, if I ask you, and I'm asking you this question, do you know that you're going to heaven? Do you know that you are saved is a better way to put the question. Do you know that you're saved? If your answer is, well, I think so. If your answer is, I hope so. Well, if your answer is, I probably am. If your answer is anything in that light, let me tell you something. I want you this morning to leave this room being confident of your salvation in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know the enemy has limited authority. He cannot, the Bible says no man can pluck you out of my hand. Limited authority. You can be secure in your salvation this morning. So if you answered the question in any of those fashions, if you've never been saved today, or you've grown relaxed, I just want you right now, as head bowed and eyes are closed, I just want you to slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other? Several in the room this morning. Thank you. This is what I want to ask you to do. It's not about, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I don't like being embarrassed, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody else. But this is what I am going to ask you to do. Today, if you slipped your hand up in this room, or maybe you didn't slip your hand up in this room, I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to share something from the Word of God with you. And I'm not going to ask you right now to come down here. That's sort of a tradition and a routine that the church in North America has been in for many, many years. But if you slipped up your hand, everybody look this way. If you slipped up your hand, I want to share something with you. I don't need to tell you that you're saved. I don't need to tell you if you're born again. I don't want you to even say that I feel like I'm saved. Okay? Feelings okay, but feelings can trick you, okay? You know? My wife thought she was feeling pretty good, and she was walking around with a 75% blockage in the main artery going to her brain. But I want you to turn to Romans chapter 10. Go there on your iPhone. I'm reading the New International wording here, New International Version. But Romans chapter 10, when we go down to verse 6, it says, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? This is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? And here begins in writing, in black and white, here is the instruction for salvation. The word is near you. It is in your heart, in your mouth, and in your heart. In other words, the ability to be saved is in you. If you have a heart, if you have a mind, And even if you don't, even if you can't speak vocally out loud, if it's in your mouth and in your heart, if it speaks out of your heart, that is the word of faith that we're proclaiming. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, now that means He's in charge of all things. He has all authority. The devil just has limited authority. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart you believe and are justified, that means made right, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. So in writing is the instructions and the foundation of salvation. I'm not saved because I feel like I'm saved. I'm not saved because somebody told me I was saved. I'm saved because I have believed in my heart and I confess Christ Jesus with my mouth as being Lord. So if you slipped up your hand in this room this morning, I want you to pray along with me and the rest of this congregation. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I have failed You and come short of Your glory. I was birthed into sin. I'm fleshly and I'm human. But I ask You to forgive me of all my sin. And I ask You to dwell in my heart, that my heart will believe upon You. And may I, with my mouth, confess You as Lord, as Jesus, born of a virgin, crucified on a cross, and risen from the dead. I choose to believe. And I speak my belief. In faith, I am saved. Not because of what I feel, because I have brought myself in accordance to Your word. In Jesus' name, may I walk in repentance. May I be a disciple of Yours and follow You the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, those of you that raised your hand, there may be some of you that didn't raise your hand. And I say this is quite unusual for me. I don't know that I've ever done it exactly like this. But if you're in this room this morning without any embarrassment, because every single person in this room has had to be saved the same way. Only thing different in this room among believers who are saved and born again is when we receive Jesus Christ. My day was different than your day. My day was on a Thursday night in a single wide trailer, kneeling beside of a coffee table with some of my best friends. The second Thursday night in March in 1980. But if you're in this room this morning and you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed this prayer and you believe the Word of God to be true, and you understand that all authority belongs to God. Limited authority is to the rest of creation. If you pray this prayer and you feel like you genuinely, you have obeyed the word. Forget I said feel like, because it's not about feeling. You have obeyed the word. And you've asked the Lord to save your soul this morning. Real quickly, without hesitation, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Anybody in this room? Anybody in this room? Thank you. Anybody else in this room that prayed that prayer and believes that the Lord saved you through faith according to the Word of God? Thank you, Zach. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because He is saving people today. He is still saving people today. The devil has limited authority because it is written. It is written. Can you give Jesus a hand clap of worship in this place today? Amen. Amen. God is good. For those of you that are worried about your cookout getting rained, the sun's still shining. I can see out the back door. God bless you. Thank you for being here today.